The AccuWeather forecast, mainly sunny, humid today, high around 80. Milwaukee County Executive Chris Abley got attention for not having been required to pay taxes from 2001 to 2014 due to various itemized deductions and business losses. But two members of the famous Johnson family in Racine are on the list. Helen Johnson Leopold, the chief executive officer of Johnson Outdoors and chair of Johnson Bank, appeared to write off investment losses resulting in no taxes for 2009, 2010, 12, and 13. She did pay $1.14 million for 2011, $192,500 in 2014, and $1.6 million last year. H. Fisk Johnson, the chairman and CEO of S.E. Johnson, pays no Wisconsin income taxes because he lives in Illinois and pays taxes there, but he works at the Racine headquarters and owns a home in the area. Former fire station number 5 in Racine is at 1437 Marquette Street. It was home to the Racine First Choice Pre-Apprenticeship Program for the past several years. With that program's demise, the Great Lakes Conservation Corporation now looking to take over the lease from the city. The Public Works Committee talking about it recently. Assistant DPW Commissioner Tom Eag noting Great Lakes was kind of a partner with First Choice in that same building, and that the rental would be in addition to them paying the building's operational costs, including utilities. The rental, $1. Eag says students with the Great Lakes group, they mainly work on solar energy projects in the community.
Apparently they had 100 of them this year, requests to get solar panels on residential roofs. They're also working with contractors now on the permeable pavement initiative, again upgrading parking lots and such, what they use to, again, keep the lakes clean of materials going into it.
Alderman Henry Perez questioned the dollar on rent, suggesting it seemed like a sweetheart deal, in his words, even though they're doing all that other stuff. He was the only no vote on the committee's recommended support to going to the council tonight. The agenda for the Racine Redevelopment Authority meeting at City Hall late this afternoon includes an update from Racine County's Economic Development Corporation on brownfield and designated redevelopment properties in the city, a report on the marketing effort so far on the Southside Industrial Park, for which the city hired a company, and if there's anything new on the Veterans Housing Project proposed for Uptown Industrial Buildings, which the developer had to give up because of higher-than-expected bids. Mayor John Dickert was hoping that other developers might show interest in the project, and word from City Hall was that a few phone calls were indeed received. The Kenosha area, it's on a journey to align effort, goals, and outcomes for the long-term success of all students. Foresight 2020 was created in 2013 to engage leaders in a community conversation, but with advancing cradle-to-career success, Avaria Youth being front and center at all of the meetings. Today, the Kenosha Strive Together partnership is a direct outgrowth of those conversations. There's a summit beginning at 4 o'clock this afternoon in the ballroom of the Student Center at UW Parkside. Members of the Kenosha School Board may be in attendance. A new 24/7 Wall Street survey has Illinois number 20, Wisconsin 28th, 28th least violent state in the country. Milwaukee shown as one of 12 metro areas exceeding the national rate for crime. John Stolness with more on the overall report.
Louisiana is the least peaceful state in the nation, according to 24/7 Wall Street, which tabulated crime and homicide rates as well as small arms ownership and incarceration rates. Alaska came in second with the highest violent crime rate per capita in the country, followed by Tennessee, Delaware, and Nevada. The most peaceful state in the country is Maine, with the second lowest violent crimes per capita last year. Vermont came in as the second most peaceful, followed by New Hampshire, Minnesota, and Utah. The study found the most peaceful states tended to have relatively small populations. I'm John Stolness.
Firefighters in Racine dispatched just before 7 o'clock this morning to a 911 call from somebody inside of a home at 2336 Bates Street who said they saw smoke and smelled it. A police officer got there first, confirmed there was smoke coming from the roof area. With the occupants having evacuated, fire crews quickly went after the source, had things under control within about 10 minutes. While checking for any extension, the incident commander requested an investigator come to the scene to try and figure out what happened. Health officials puzzled about what happened with the most basic baking ingredient, flour. It got contaminated with bacteria normally found in animal feces. Bill Michaels has more.
The tainted flour has sickened 41 people in 21 states and prompted the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention to warn cooks to treat it like other foods that could cross-contaminate kitchen surfaces. Testing points to flour produced at the General Mills facility in Kansas City, Missouri. The company, which has recalled 45 million pounds of flour, says it does not believe the plant is the source of the bacteria. I'm Bill Michaels.
Wisconsin Election Commission members started to work today with municipal officials to implement changes again after the state's voter ID law was ruled unconstitutional late last week. Changes include eliminating restrictions on early voting, which had been limited to just weekdays and at one location. Elections Commission Director Michael Haas says they are reviewing the decision all total in consultation with their attorneys. The Disabled American Veterans looking for volunteer drivers to take veterans to their appointments at the VA Medical Center in Milwaukee. The need is actually the greatest in Racine, Waukesha, and Washington counties, but volunteers will be accepted in Milwaukee, just not as high a need. Volunteers can work as few hours and days as they wish. Vehicles are located in each area. Racine, the vans are housed at the All Saints campus. For more information, you can call this number, 414-384-2000, extension 45715. After weeks of work, Mount Pleasant Village President Jerry Garski watched this morning as the first truckloads of concrete arrived in the Lake Park area to try to help homeowners there affected by erosion along Lake Michigan shore with their crumbling bluffs. Here's WRJN's Janet Hoff.
Before an ever-growing pile of concrete chunks from a project at the Waukegan Airport, Garski said as many as 100 truckloads of concrete chunks would be delivered to the site today. Homeowners will then need to find their own contractor to move the concrete to their shorelines. This is only the first step in reducing the erosion that's threatened their homes. In Lake Park, Janet Hoff, WRJN News.
Kenosha City Council meeting tonight, 7 o'clock. The agenda at the municipal building includes a resolution to move the needed money around in the capital improvement program this year to cover the cost of repairing the rubberized surface for the Dream Playground at Petsky Park. The contract for that work with a company from Greenfield also on the agenda. AAA has the average price for a gallon of regular unleaded gasoline at $2.16 across Wisconsin. That is down nearly 5 cents a gallon from last week and 21 cents over the past month. Janesville Beloit, the lowest average price at $2.03. Green Bay, the highest at $2.28 on average. Many stations in this area in the $2.12 to $2.15 range. Meanwhile, GasBuddy.com spotters reported gas for under $2 a gallon in Beloit, Janesville, and parts of Kenosha. And in light of what will soon become the back-to-school season, Wallet Hub's analysts compared the quality of education in the 50 states and the District of Columbia to shine the spotlight on the top-performing school systems. And those in Wisconsin ranked number 5 overall in the country. Each got measures across 17 key metrics. They range from student-teacher ratio to average SAT and ACT scores to even dropout rates. Massachusetts ranking number 1 overall, then New Jersey, Connecticut, and Vermont. Wisconsin's number 5 overall listing, that included 7th for quality of the school systems in the state and 2nd for safety of the school systems. Illinois' overall ranking was 13th. Dead last on that survey, Louisiana. Racine's Common Council is meeting tonight at 7 o'clock instead of the normal first Tuesday because tomorrow is National Night Out Activities. The agenda this evening, that includes a communication going into the Finance Committee requesting permission for an accounting firm to be hired to do 13 separate audits of the city's tax incremental districts, and a communication going to the Plan Commission requesting an ordinance change to allow tattoo parlors in neighborhood convenience districts. Governor Scott Walker proclaiming this Ports Week across Wisconsin, recognizing the long history of water transportation in the state. Sherry Walls manages the DOT's Harbors and Waterways program, says the state's commercial harbors handle a number of significant and important commodities, noting the program helps communities as well along the Mississippi River and the Great Lakes with a variety of projects that can help improve those port facilities.
Some examples of projects funded through the Harbor Assistance Program include dock reconstruction, replacing mooring structures, dredging to keep waterways open, and constructing facilities to hold dredged materials.
She points out the state has 29 commercial ports, which contribute a combined $1.6 billion to the state's economy every year. Only about 16% of voting-age adults are expected to cast a ballot in the state's August 9th primary election. Some of those ballots have already been cast absentee. That according to new State Elections Commission head Mike Haas.
According to our database, there have been over 75,000 absentee ballots issued, and almost 44,000 of those ballots had been returned already.
He said the lack of any hotly contested statewide races on the ballot usually means there's going to be a low turnout. Some areas might see more activity because of a legislative or congressional decision, the latter including the 1st District as a prime example. In-person absentee balloting, meanwhile, continues through Friday afternoon. Our AccuWeather forecast coming up. In Mount Pleasant this morning, chunks of concrete began to arrive from Waukegan to try to help with the bluff erosion faced by homeowners along Lake Michigan. Village President Jerry Garski had announced an agreement by which Racine County would pick up and deliver the broken concrete from a runway reconstruction project at Waukegan's airport and then haul it to Mount Pleasant. Affected homeowners then had to get the concrete chunks to the bluffs behind their homes. Residents of Mount Pleasant should expect a notice in the mail and a posting on the website about reassessment and the village moving closer next year to that 100% level on its own versus the state ordering it in the near future. Assessor Dan McHugh says it's all about fair market value. Right now, Mount Pleasant is at about 97%. Trustee John Hewitt said the assessment process connects to other state communities, especially up north, staying low and for which the legislature tried to mandate county-run assessing. But the Assessors Association fought it and won.
And the legislature had almost tried to pass rules and regulations, as Dan will tell you, to have either the state or the county take over each community's assessments and everything. They thought they could have a better handle on it. But through his association and everything, they've been fighting that. This has been an ongoing situation.
As for McHugh, he pointed out he has nothing to do with taxes if they go up or down. Changes to the grocery store scene in southeast Wisconsin probably not over, according to Jim Dudlasek, the editor of Progressive Grocer, an industry trade publication. He says he's interested in how Pick and Save and Piggly Wiggly respond to the recent influx of new competitors, Festival Foods, Costco, Meijer, and a Fresh Thyme that's coming to Kenosha. He says that the trend in the grocery store business has been to move away from the one-size-fits-all approach in favor of offering mealtime solutions.
Now you're seeing some of the more sort of up-to-date, more modern formats of stores coming in that present really a little bit more of an upscale shopper experience that's really focused on fresh, that outer perimeter. You're seeing more attention on an expanded deli into fresh prepared, restaurant-quality in-store dining in many cases. And it's really going to present grocery shoppers with a lot of choice.
He also believes the additional food store competition does not necessarily mean that some locations will be forced to close. He notes even Walmart spruced up its older Supercenter site in Mount Pleasant. All right, your weather forecast coming up. I'm Tom Karkle, WRJN News.